I'm very pleased to welcome Professor Tony Young, Clinical Director for Innovation for NHS England.
Thank you very much. So I recognise quite a few of the faces in the audience because they're on the Entrepreneur Programme. So my name is Tony Young. I'm a consultant surgeon in the NHS. I'm the Chair and Director of Medical Innovation at the New Medical School at Anglia Ruskin University. I'm the Associate Medical Director for the Mid and South Essex Hospitals Group, and I'm also the National Clinical Lead for Innovation at NHS England. And it's in that latter role that I lead the Clinical Entrepreneur Programme, which is what the Academic Health Science Networks have asked if I would come and talk to you a little bit about today. So traditionally in the National Health, I should also say, of course, I am a lapsed entrepreneur. I did 4 startups myself. The last one was around 10 years ago, raised around £5 million in private sector funds and exited all those. So have combined a career as a clinician and academic, a leader and an entrepreneur. And so recognize that the NHS supported people who wanted to be academics, supported you if you wanted to develop as a leader, supported you if you wanted to be a teacher and train other people, but actually if you wanted to be an entrepreneur in healthcare, and we're seeing lots of things coming up at the startup world that are helping change healthcare. There are lots of things here at the Innovation Expo that are new things that aren't necessarily coming out of our hospitals or clinical research. They're coming out of great ideas from the startup world. You only have to look at things like the diabetes prevention program, which has worked really well. The technology came out with the companies, and then we've done the clinical trials after that to show that. So, but we weren't embracing or supporting entrepreneurs within the National Health Service, and in fact, we were doing quite the reverse. So the figures from the General Medical Council are about 5% of junior doctors are quitting healthcare each year to go and do something else. And at the end of their FY2 years, junior doctors, about 50, 56% are taking a break and going on to do something else. But of course, it's not just doctors, it's other clinicians who were feeling that actually they wanted to make an impact on patients, they wanted to make a difference, and just clinical delivery for them, they wanted to do something else other than their frontline services to try and have a bigger impact. So 4 years ago at this expo, we launched the Clinical Entrepreneur Programme with our then medical director, Sir Bruce Keogh, and with a vision that we would provide a workforce development programme that would allow anyone working in the NHS. We'd start with junior doctors in year one, but in year two we brought on board dentists and clinical scientists. Year three it was nurses, allied healthcare practitioners, and year four everyone's included in the NHS, including managers and others who work in the NHS. So we've developed a program that teaches staff commercial skills, knowledge and experience to try and help them develop and grow as individuals working with the NHS, to try and retain them working with the NHS, but that might make them better leaders or managers or clinicians, or also deliver and develop their startup if that was what they wanted to do. So we've just finished year three of the program. We had, I think, 364 frontline clinicians come through the program in that first 3 years. They developed 175 startups. They raised over £164 million, impacted over 17 million patients, and 106 clinicians who had quit the NHS came back to work in it because they could continue part-time as an entrepreneur in the NHS. So I think in my career, probably one of the proudest things I've done is find a program that persuades 106 frontline clinicians to stay in healthcare, delivering that rather than quitting and going to the private sector. So that's really good. Year four, we've now grown. We've just appointed. We're just starting year four now. We have over 500 clinicians now on the program. It has become the world's largest entrepreneurial training program in healthcare, and it came out of the NHS, which is quite amazing. So I decided I wouldn't prepare any slides to show you today. There are enough slides in this conference and event. And by that, I mean any PowerPoint slides. What I thought I would do is have some real human beings instead as slides. So some of our clinical entrepreneurs are here in the audience. And one of the things we get them to do is to learn to stand up and pitch, to tell you what their idea is, why they're passionate, why they want to change healthcare, and perhaps a bit about why they're on the Entrepreneur Programme. So what I thought, rather than hearing from me for half an hour about the programme, you might like to hear from some of the frontline of the NHS. So I don't know who wants to start. I could see a few of them in the audience. Any volunteers to come up to start with? You're all prepped and know? No one's... Yeah, right, come forward. So what I want you to do is introduce yourself. You can then pitch your idea or what you're doing and working on, and then tell them a little bit about why you've joined the Entrepreneur Programme. How does that sound? Good. And you have to hold this mic quite close, okay?
Thank you. So pitch first. Yep.
So normally I'm quite strict and I give them about 60 seconds to pitch, but I'm not going to time them and I'm going to be a bit lax. But if you overrun a lot, I will start clapping to remind you we've come to the end, okay?
Okay. Dangerous with a captive audience. Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Ridian Harris. I'm a doctor and I'm going to tell you about Forward. So I'm a junior doctor. And I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because the tools I have at work don't let me do my job. They get in the way of good patient care. What does that mean? If I want to hand over a job to a colleague, I write in a book and I hope they pick the message up later. If I want to create a patient list, I type it all up on a Word document, takes an hour, I print it off, at which point it's immediately out of date. And if I want to get in touch with a colleague for some advice, I page them, and then I wait, and I hope they call me back. This gets in the way of good patient care. It's frustrating, and it's making people leave medicine. At Forward, we're trying to solve this problem. We're building a communication platform that's fit for the 21st century NHS. We're doing this in collaboration with clinicians, and we'd love your help. If this sounds like a problem that you want to get stuck into solving, get out your phone, go onto the App Store and search Forward. The app's free to download. We'd love you to use it. And more than anything, we want you to tell us what's wrong with it. What should we do next? Because you all know the problems you face and you know how to solve them better than I do. So tell us what to do. Thank you.
So, Ridian, just tell us, so why have you applied to join the Entrepreneur Programme? Why? You're a junior doctor, you're working in a startup. What do you think it's going to do for you?
For me, the attraction is having a network of like-minded people, support network, contacts. My background's as a doctor. I know lots of healthcare professionals. I know no one who knows anything about investing or running a business. So that network of people with the skill sets to do something about the problems we've all got, that's the big attraction for me.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Ridian. That was very good. Now, of course, it's one of the things we don't teach clinicians, isn't it? I never got taught anything. I've taken on leadership roles and management roles, but where was my knowledge of basic accounting or commercial aspects that will help me write and prepare a business plan and case to take that forward? So you don't get that. So the Entrepreneur Programme does very much teach you that. So one of the other things we do is the enterprises that come through the programme, we try and support in the NHS. So we've been working with Forward in my STP. We've now rolled it out across our three hospitals. So instead of using WhatsApp, we're now using a compliant, clinically safe, appropriate and sanctioned instant messaging system. And I think we're sending tens of thousands of messages per day are going through this platform from junior doctors, from nurses, from other clinicians connecting that were previously going via WhatsApp. So it's safer, it's more secure, it's trackable and traceable for our patients. And we're also working with them on developing a new system of instant advice and guidance. And that's come out of the it came from two frontline clinicians in the NHS who are on our program and Meridian's part of that. Great, which of our entrepreneurs would like to go next? Rosie, do you want to come forward? So again, same thing, introduce yourself, a little bit about what you do and then why you're on the Entrepreneur Programme and what you got out of it at the end. And you have to bear in mind, Simon Stevens is just behind the camera and over there, so you speak really loud and he'll know how amazing what you're doing is.
I'm going to start with the problem. So modern slavery is a reality affecting millions of men, women and children across the world. 40 million people live and experience slavery today. And that's more than at any other time in human history. One in four are children. That's 10 million children. And for those who think this doesn't affect us in the UK, the Global Slavery Index thinks that there are maybe 2 per 1,000 individuals who are living in slavery in the UK. This affects cities and rural areas. Everywhere is affected. Now, we know that modern slavery is a significant threat to the health of individuals, societies, and communities. And we also know that victims are presenting at the moment in healthcare services, in A&Es, maternity settings, general practice settings, and healthcare professionals don't know what to do. They don't know what questions to ask, how to create a safe, confidential environment that empowers their patients, how to get an accompanying person out the room without raising their alarm and suspicions. So my name's Rosie, I'm an A&E doctor and an NHS clinical entrepreneur, and I've started an organization called Vita. Vita is transforming the health response to modern slavery. We're seen as nationally and now internationally the experts in the UK from looking at modern slavery from a health perspective. I have training programs that train frontline clinicians, and this has been commissioned by NHS Trust in London. Now 1,200 healthcare professionals have attended Vita training sessions with amazing feedback that says this changes how they interact with their patients. We also are we're looking at research, looking at survivors' experiences of healthcare and how that can directly impact our response. And we are advocates and we advise NHS and also the Home Office in how they can change their systems. So what I want from you is in your startups, in your new innovations, and in all the sort of organizations you work with, I want you to think about who is paying for this? Who is being, is there anyone who might be exploited? Starting up these new innovations for the benefit of patients here, but look at the supply chains and look at who is being impacted when you're starting these things. And feel free to speak to me at the end. Thank you.
Thanks, Rosie. So, wow, can you believe it? We didn't have appropriate mandatory training in the NHS on us identifying the sign. I get taught about lots of things. Can I identify someone with sepsis? Can I identify someone who might be at risk of all sorts of things? But have I ever been taught, as someone who's worked as a clinician for 25 years in the NHS, about recognising the signs of modern slavery or a trafficked person? Not at all. Have I probably come across some? Probably many over my time, but I just wouldn't know. So I'm really proud and pleased to support you. What are your thoughts or views on the Entrepreneur Programme? What are one or two things maybe that have changed the way you think or act or work as a clinician or have benefited you, Rosie?
The mentorship has directly impacted me and my story with Vita. It's having inspiring leaders, role models who passionately believe in what you're trying to do. And so the doors that have opened as a result, you know, people identifying important connections and links, that has absolutely blown my ideas of what I could achieve in 1 year out of the water. It's been incredible this year.
I have to say, you're quite incredible. We couldn't do it without you. Anyway, that's very good, Rosie. Have a seat. Okay, who's next? Which of our entrepreneurs want to come forward? Some of our entrepreneurs have been with us for a few years, and some are just babies. They're just starting on the program this year, so they're really being brave when I asked them last night if they'd like to step forward and come and tell you a little bit about their story. So if you'd like to introduce yourself, tell them a little bit about what you do, what you're passionate about, and then say maybe at the end why you have applied and why you wanted to join the Entrepreneur Programme. And you have to hold this quite close.
Hello, my name's Liz. I'm a midwife. And as a midwife, I'm passionate about supporting midwives in delivering very safe and effective care for the benefit of women and babies. I'm also interested in driving digital transformation in maternity services. And as I've looked around, particularly at the expo today and previously to this, I can see that there are a lot of AI methodology being used in bringing together big data and looking to see how that can support us in delivering our services and matching resources with demand. This is something that at the moment really hasn't been brought into maternity services so far on a large scale. So what I would like to develop is something called Format, which would be a system that would forecast maternity service demand. And this would support midwives in delivering care in all the settings. So in the community, in the woman's home, if she needs high-risk clinical care, in an inpatient setting, and be able to stitch all these things together so that we can get the midwife with the right skills alongside the woman at the right time and in the right setting. So what I would like to get from the Clinical Entrepreneur Programme is links to people who have that expert knowledge in software development and AI methods to help me to do this, because that's not my area of expertise, and that's why I applied.
Brilliant. I'm sorry. Don't you think it's inspiring? A frontline midwife in the NHS who wants to improve services for women and babies has seen all the stuff about AI, has rolled up her sleeves, got out of her seat, pitched to come on this programme, which we thought was really bold and great, and saying, I'm going to make a difference to that through using the latest AI technology. What partners can I find to help me do that? Isn't that what the NHS should be doing? You're brilliant. Well done. Come and have a seat. Right. Who would like to go next? I don't mind. Step forward. We're going to have a theme going here in a moment. Here we are. Keep it close.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Sophie, and I am also a midwife and now a clinical entrepreneur. And I am the founder of my own app called Shift Organizer. So apart from being a midwife and caring for women, I also care about the staff of the NHS. My app is a simple, quick, and easy to use task management app. It alerts you when your tasks are due. It shows you a systematic digital list of everything that you need to do for your patients in one glance. Anything overdue will be alerted, and anything that you have done already, you can easily see. I want to save time for the NHS. I want to diminish this fear of forgetting and reduce the stress and anxiety of the workforce of the NHS. I want to get rid of all these unnecessary tech burdens and frustrations that I have experienced myself. I just need to pause, sorry. My app, what I'm hoping to get out of the program is I want to work with nurses, and from my own experiences on the wards, I want to get their opinions and work together. From my own experiences, I used to be told what to do and how to work and how to use technology. But I want to stop that. So if you know any nurses that are looking to improve our digital tech workforce, then please come and speak to me, because I want to solve this problem together.
No, you did really, really well. Two midwives in a row. You're going to think this is the midwife entrepreneur program, but I can assure you it's not. Isn't that great? Really passionate about transforming something that's very analog, a hand over the task management that goes on in nursing all the time. Well done. Take a seat. Who's next? Hang on, Molly. Do you want to come forward? So I said you might think this was not the NHS clinical entrepreneur program, but the NHS midwifery entrepreneur program. And like buses, they come along in threes. So this is another year. One of the things, it was a question put to me, and I am really passionate and driven about where I see inequality. It's one of the things that drives me trying to sort it out. And in year one of the entrepreneur program, only about 10-15% of people on the program were women. And I looked at our processes and systems and why, and they just weren't applying, and I couldn't work out why, and we went to women's networks to try, because women are more than half the NHS workforce, and I wanted to encourage it. Then we got to 20% now, and I think we're above 30% now building it. So I am really proud that message is getting out there. We're encouraging women to step forward as entrepreneurs, to become leaders, because they've got so much to offer, and I think what they've said so far is fantastic, and we're about to hear something else. So we met when I gave a presentation at the Derby Medical Society, and I thought what you had to say was inspiring, and I said, why don't you apply for the programme? So here we are.
Hello, I'm Helen McIntyre. Oops, sorry. Helen McIntyre, I'm a midwife, and my day job is Associate Professor for Midwifery on a 4-year undergraduate master's program for midwifery with leadership. So there's a plug for my program, because it's only its second year running, with second year cohort this year, and that's at Leicester University. However, what I'm going to talk to you about today is a skin-to-skin garment between mother and baby, and the drivers for that come from the World Health Organization, UNICEF UK, the Attain project. There's a whole driver throughout maternity to increase not only immediate skin-to-skin post-birth, but actually extended skin-to-skin. The benefits of skin-to-skin for the baby are that you would regulate the baby's heart rate, respiratory rate, temperature, metabolic rate, and also their baby biome. On top of that, you're actually going to develop the baby's or enhance the baby's oxytocin release, and that actually then develops the baby's positive brain pathways. From the mother's point of view, you're obviously going to be bonding better, but you're also going to get that oxytocin release for the mother as well. So it's kind of a win-win all round. Clinically, I'm very passionate about infant feeding, and what we find with having more skin-to-skin is the baby cues in terms of the mother knowing when the baby wants to feed is much greater. So what we've used in the past are things like tubey grip, draw sheets, blankets, all sorts of things to wrap up the mum and the baby so that they're together. So basically what I've designed is the equivalent of a top. You have this.
Do I get to try on?
Yeah, go on then. But the idea is that you would wear it without, it's an undergarment, okay? So you wear it as an undergarment.
How do I have to put it on?
That way.
Okay, your arms come through?
Yeah.
No photos. No photos.
This is for a lady, by the way, and it's a small.
Do you have an arm or not?
Yeah, there should be. Probably just undone it. There you go.
Okay.
That has to tie in there. Okay. So this part in the middle is actually made of bamboo fabric, so it's ecological, it's breathable, doesn't get hot. Okay. The bit at the side is ruched because obviously the women's breasts are going to expand and they're going to contract. Within there, there's actually some pouches for you to be able to put your breast pads in so that when you leak, which is obviously a bit of an issue when you're breastfeeding, you're not going to leak all over the place. You've obviously then got, you've got this wrap underneath, tie underneath that you can either wrap over the baby's bottom or you would stick under the baby's bottom as the baby grows so that you've actually got some weight control there. You'll notice there are no clips, there are no buttons, there's no Velcro on there. From a baby's point of view, you don't want Velcro so that you catch the skin. If this is going to go global, which is what my idea is, then you actually don't want anything that's going to either rust or become perishable. So it's actually a very sustainable kind of garment. The rest of the fabric is actually made of cotton jersey, so there's a degree of stretch with it. I know it can go through a thermal disinfectant in the NHS because it's been tried 5 times and it's still come out looking the same. The trial at the moment that I'm looking at, we've done a feasibility and we've done an RCT, and I'm looking at mainstreaming it to see whether we can, the women are happy to use it, reuse it, and it come back through the thermal disinfectant and then go back through again. So it becomes sustainable within the NHS. So what I'm looking for is basically somebody to help me out with the business side of it, because I am not a businesswoman at all. And also that whole idea of scaling up from, at the moment, the manufacturer I've got is really helpful in terms of creating me relatively small numbers, but obviously at a high cost. And I need to bring that cost down so that, again, this whole notion of actually flattening the inequalities within our maternity services is really, really important to me, because the women who do not breastfeed, that don't necessarily bond very well with their babies, are the ones who are not going to go out and buy an expensive garment to do skin to skin. Further down the line, I'd like to use it within a therapeutic environment, so actually use it as part of a pathway. So when women come back into the system because their babies have either lost weight or they've gotten cold or they've become jaundiced or whatever, that actually while they're waiting in the emergency department, we're actually just trying this and say, well, actually this baby might just feed for itself. It might bring its temperature up on its own without actually having to admit it into the unit. So at the moment I'm looking at enhancing normal physiology, but in time I firmly believe that it would be could be used as part of clinical pathways to actually A, prevent patients or babies being admitted to the neonatal unit, but also getting them to do what we want them to do before we get into that position. Okay, thank you very much.
How cool is that? I'm sorry, I'll take it off in a moment. But
a Snoopy,
there we are. So a frontline midwife, professor of midwifery as well, developing things, and we're going to help her take this forward. I've got 5 minutes. Right, some more entrepreneurs. I'll take this off while the next one's pitching. Molly, come forward. You're going to think this is a female entrepreneur program. We're quite unbalanced, but it's not.
Hi, everyone. My name is Molly Gilmartin. I first got interested in health technology when I was actually a medical student. I was working on a tertiary service for fertility preservation for paediatric oncology. And I turned to the consultant who was the lead of the service and said, why is the average switchboard wait time that I've measured 10 minutes, 17 seconds? Now, whether you're working in primary, secondary or tertiary care, the challenge is getting in touch with the people you need for advice or to refer patients and the information you need to refer them or to treat them. And Induction is exactly that. So Induction is an app used by just over 94,000 healthcare professionals and half of all NHS doctors today. It's a crowdsourced directory of all bleep and extension numbers in hospitals and also guidelines. So I'm passionate about health technology because I'm passionate about the user, that healthcare professional that is pained by the challenges in getting in touch with the people and information they need. And at Induction, I've been leading the clinical team building quality improvement projects for doctors around the UK. And in Guy's and St Thomas's Hospital in the anaesthetics department, they have a closed group where they keep this information, and they saved 22 days last year because of Induction. UCLH have all of their guidelines and numbers on the app, and they saved 77 hours a week because of the app. So this is a grassroots movement, a simple app that people use every day. And with that, I believe we have an opportunity to transform technology in healthcare for a clinician, because too much technology we see today is built at the top, all singing, all dancing system, pushed down on the users, and they're expected to use it. How about start with something simple, get half of all NHS doctors using it and growing every day, and then think about what you do next. So if any of you would like to run a QI project in your hospital for Induction's usage, it's in every hospital in the UK, let me know. Or if you're a CIO, a CCIO, or a CEO, and you'd like to know how much time Induction is saving your hospital, you can find me at Stan 96. Thanks a lot.
Brilliant, thanks Molly. That's great, right, we're gonna move on. We want some of the fellas up now. Come on, Scott. Here we go. I'm going to keep you time because I want to get a couple more in if we can quickly.
Okay. Hi, everyone. So we've heard already that workforce challenges are some of the biggest issues actually facing our NHS. And a slightly different take with it, sort of within that is training is fundamental. So we read in the papers every day about doctors and nurses, about the shortages. But what can we actually do to ensure those in the front line get the training that they need when they need it? How do we actually train the workforce of the future? So my name's Scott, I'm a doctor by training and founder of AI Patient. We are utilizing the cutting edge in natural language processing and voice technology to actually create a cohort of virtual artificial intelligence powered simulated patients, each with unique signs, symptoms, and actually personalities. So this essentially enables, you know, nursing students, medical students, postgraduate trainees to practice and perfect all cognitive steps from taking the medical history to interpreting investigations, clinching the diagnosis and formulating a treatment plan. So the entire patient journey, we can actually assess that in a virtual environment. So essentially, you know, if you make a mistake, the AI tutor will show you where you went wrong. And essentially, tutors and trainees can improve together. So whilst we want to show you how fun actually training can be, we can solve some serious problems in the NHS. For example, 1 in 10 clinicians are actually taking time out and returning to work who are currently unsupported, but also the 1 in 11 currently vacant NHS posts. How can we ensure the very best talent essentially moves into the right roles? Thanks for listening. And Tony's going to cut me off here, but if you're involved in training, come and have a chat with me. Thanks.
How amazing is that? AI from a junior doctor in the NHS for patients to train us. Jethro, come forward quickly. You're going to have some, I'm going to overrun a bit and ask for some prerogative. You get about 30 seconds, mate.
30 seconds. Hi, I'm Jethro. I'm a GP. I've been on the Clinical Entrepreneur Scheme for a year. I am passionate about improving the working lives of health and care staff. The way I've approached that is I'm essentially building, in the simplest form, LinkedIn for health. I want to look at what we have, in the way of skills within our communities and what their aspirations, the people's aspirations are as well. Sorry, I'm rushing through this because you're giving me 30 seconds. So we see a lot. If you look around you, there are loads of work streams on how we build the workforce, how we develop them, how we support them. Very few of them are actually asking the workforce themselves. I'm building a platform which will ask the individual user what their skills are, what they want to do in the future, and how, when they want to retire, whether they like their job. And I'm going to build skills maps and show them what their local community does so they can go back and think about their careers, change their aspirations based on what is around them. And I believe that we can keep people within the workforce and develop the workforce. And for every person that you manage to develop one more skill, you gain a little more for the entire workforce and you gain a happier worker. My platform's called Etho and it's in early stages at the moment.
Brilliant. Thank you, Jethro. And do you notice how they're so entrepreneurial, they say they've got 30 seconds but take a minute and a half and then keep edging away from the corner of the stage in case I get the mic off them. So we teach them to keep a hold of the mic. One last one very quickly. Another one of our new entrepreneurial babies joining us this year. So introduce yourself. Tell us a little about what you're doing, which I think is amazing. And then why you're coming on the Entrepreneur Programme, okay?
Brilliant. Hello, my name is Galib, the co-founder of Written Medicine. So the problem we've created a solution for is I work in community and hospital pharmacies, but I come across communication barriers on a regular basis with ethnic minority patients. We have to hire staff from the local community. Their language ability is untested. For example, I claim I can speak Urdu, but I would not be able to tell a Pakistani patient how to insert a suppository in a formal way. So we created a software that translates and prints bilingual medication information for ethnic minority patients. We've now also created DosinTech, so we've standardized and codified the directions of use. We're integrating our software into JAC, which is a stock control system in secondary care, and into an e-discharge system as well, and currently live in 4 NHS trusts and in HCA private hospitals as well.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Very short. So, first of all, I had no idea that we weren't, as an organisation, the NHS wasn't providing language-specific medical medicines instructions when medicines were being dispensed from our pharmacies. I just assumed that was happening, but I speak English and it happens in my language, but I don't speak another one, sadly. A little bit of French and Spanish occasionally. We should be doing that, and it's come from the front line of the NHS. And I'm horrified to think the NHS is giving informal instructions to people on inserting medications. We definitely should formalise that and do that, so that's brilliant. So look, I'm over time. That was just a flavour of some of our frontline clinicians, doctors, nurses, midwives, pharmacists who are coming on our programme. If you work in the NHS, you're passionate and committed, you want to make a change, you want to make a difference, you think entrepreneurial skills, knowledge and experience can help you do that, then come and join the world's largest workforce development programme to help us transform what I think is the world's greatest healthcare system. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed to Professor Tony Young for joining us this afternoon. Our next session is at 2:00. It's about atrial fibrillation stroke prevention, if you'd like to hang around for that. And Tony, I think you're going to stay on with some of your entrepreneurs if you'd like to ask any questions or find out a bit more about some of those fantastic ideas that we've heard. Brilliant. Thank you.